Well, tonight we're going to talk about Lazarus, but we're going to listen to some music, sing some songs or something. But let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day that you've given us. Father, we pray for warm weather. We just ask that you watch over us tonight. We pray, Father, that you bless what we do and you find that it honors you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Pastor has the clicker. Sing along with us, sure.
You are God in heaven, and here am I on earth. So I'll let my words be. Jesus, I am so in love with you, and I'll stand in awe of you, Jesus, yes, I'll stand.
Sunday message, seeds, growth. What? You didn't change it. Okay. So your Sunday message on seeds and growth.
Quite the jokester.
We decided we were going to do this on pre-service. We actually did this as a special back in January, I think we did.
I can see her now, her weathered skin, old straw hat and crooked grin. And she said, child, let's make this garden grow. Let's till the soil and pull some weeds, and he here's your bag of precious seeds, 'cause Grandma's got a secret you should know. You always reap exactly what you sow. So mercy, so grace, so kindness, so faith. His words are like water, sprinkled with love. He will harvest all your heart's been dreaming of. So mercy, we knelt right there, and she took my hand. That patch of dirt was holy land. Said, child, I learned this long ago. Oh, you can bless or curse, you can live or die. You choose the crop you want in life, and that's the greatest secret Grandma knows. You always read what you sow. So mercy, so grace, so kindness, so faith. His words are like water, all your heart's been dreaming of. 'Cause one day, God forbid, you act a fool and fall down hard and fast, 'cause life is cruel. If you ever reach to help a friend, a hand you held might lift you up again. What goes around comes back around, you know. You always reap exactly what you sow. Sing it with us. So mercy, so grace, so kindness, so faith. His words are like water, all your heart's been dreaming of. You will harvest all your heart's been dreaming of. So mercy,
so mercy,
so
in and say something about seeds. turn what up? What, the microphone? Really?
Really?
Really? I'm stunned. I'm stunned. I've never asked anybody to turn things up. Yeah. Must be all the stage volume that fools me. I've never asked anybody to have me turn something up. That's awesome.
Well, he's so excited.
You just messed it up for us. We're slowly fading him out, and he didn't know about it.
We're over here going.
And now we got to start all over again.
Pastor, if you can click to the How Firm a Foundation. Yeah, we'll do How Firm a Foundation. It should be 1, 2, 5, and 6, Karen.
Ye saints of the Lord, He is laid for your fame in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said? Do you who for refuge to Jesus has fled?
Time to get up when the children's moment slide comes up.
We're doing children's moment?
What? Kids?
We're going to talk about the death of Lazarus tonight in this ongoing theme through Lent of Dare to Love. And the scripture is actually out of John 11 and there's several verses, but I think it's worth reading. I'm going to make some comments in between here in some of the things, because if we just read through this and we miss some of the things, it's, I think we lose a lot. So starting with chapter 11, verse 1, and someone was sick. Lazarus from Bethany, from the town of Miriam and her sister Martha. And Miriam was one who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him saying, Lord, behold, whom you love is sick. And let me read a couple more verses, because there's two different, he uses love and he uses it, and means two different things there. Therefore the sister sent him, saying, Lord, behold, whom you love is sick. When Yeshua heard this, he said, or Jesus said, heard this, he said, this sickness is not to death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man would be glorified through this sickness. And Yeshua loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Therefore, he had heard that he was sick. At that time, he was indeed staying in that place where he was 2 days. What's interesting there is when you look at that first term there, you look there at in verse 3 where he uses the word love, the Greek word for that is phileo. There's three words in the Greek language for love. Agape, which we hear a lot, and agape is the translation probably best might be is brotherly love or friendship or affection to others. But the one for, agape is for goodwill, for benevolence, for something that you would show by what it does. It's not a natural type thing. The phileo love is a brotherly love or a friendship or kind of an affection toward one another. So he uses that term in verse 3. What he said, when they say the sister said to him and said, Lord, whom you love is sick, or whom you are friends with, whom you have an affection toward is sick. And then he gets down here to verse 6, and he says, and Yeshua loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. And what he's saying is he loved them by showing them benevolence. He was loving toward them. It wasn't necessarily a natural thing for him to do that. And as far as, you know, I mean, picking them out from any other, you know, people was nothing different than what his love would be for anyone else. So therefore, it says in verse 6, therefore has he heard that he was sick, and at that time he was indeed staying in that place where he was 2 days. Immediately after this, he said to his disciples, and he was planning, so he was planning on staying there 2 days. He says, we should go to Judea again. And the disciples to him, Rabbi, the Jewish leaders are there now seeking to stone you. And you are going there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? If someone would walk in a day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if someone would walk at night, he stumbles because the light is not in the world. And what he's saying there is when he's talking about day, he's speaking of light. He's talking about when someone walks in the day, they're walking in the light. And he goes on to say when he talks about night or when you walk at night, what he's saying is you're walking separated from God's presence. And so when we look at it this way, we see kind of two different things here. We see the idea of walking in the day or walking in light. And when he talks about walking at night, he's in essence saying people are walking in darkness or in spiritual darkness. He said these things in verse 11. He said these things, and after this he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going so that I could awaken him. Then the disciples had said to him, Lord, if he would be sleeping, he will be saved. But Yeshua had spoken about his death. Only they thought that he was talking about the sleep of slumber. Therefore, Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus died. And I'm sure when he's talking about sleep and they're talking about death, they had a hard time understanding this. But he goes on to say, and I rejoice for you that I was not there so that you would believe. But let us go to him. These were the guys that were with him all the time, the disciples. And yet he had to say to them, I rejoice for you that I was not there that you would believe. He had tried to get those 12 guys that were with him to believe all this time. But let's go to him. Then Thomas, the one called Twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we could die with him." So there's a lot of faith and there's a lot of strength right here when they're miles away because they're heading back to the land and the town of Miriam and to the town of Martha. And he says, we're going back to Judea. So in verse 17, he says, "Then when Jesus came, he found that he had now been in the tomb 4 days. And Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 15 stadia, or about 2 miles is what it was. And many of the Jewish people had come to Martha and Miriam so that they could console them concerning their brother. Then as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, and Miriam was sitting in the house. Therefore Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" How many of us would have had that same attitude, felt the same way? Or maybe we might have felt different. I'm not sure. Not being there. I love listening to some of these Senate conferee questions, you know, and some of these that are asked. And I was interested listening to the one where they were questioning, or maybe better word, quizzing the potential Supreme Court Justice Gorsuch and the fine senator from, I believe, Minnesota or Wisconsin, Al Franken, was talking. I say that sarcastically. But he kept talking about this guy that was in this truck, and the brakes had frozen up on it, the trailer. So he unhooks the trailer rather than, because the heater wasn't working either, and rather than freeze to death, he drives the truck to get warm and then comes back and the company fires him. And so the whole thing is the Supreme Court candidate, Gorsuch, said he supported the company because they have a right to hire and fire who they want. Obviously, he's never heard of the Ohio right to work law. Probably have it in Minnesota, too. But anyway, they kept asking him, Franken kept asking him, he said, "Well, what would you do?" He said, "I don't know, I wasn't there." And so he kept, you know, I mean, and I don't know how many times he must have asked him that same question. And so when we look at these things and people ask us, "Well, what would you have done?" I'm not sure what I would have done. I wasn't there. I probably would have felt the same way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To Jesus there was no really such word as death. You know, so and every time that he faced a situation, whether it be a demon or a sickness or an illness or blindness or the man with the withered hand or whatever, there was no doubt. And that's what we're going to talk about Sunday. There was no doubt in his mind that whatever that need was, it was going to be restored. But now, I also know that God will give you whatever you ask. So she had some faith. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise on the last day in the resurrection." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he would die, he will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will not ever die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Certainly, Lord, I have believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come to the world." And after she had said this, she left and told Miriam, her sister, secretly, having said, "The teacher is here and is calling you." And as she heard this, she got up quickly and was coming to him. And Jesus had not yet come into the village, but he was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jewish people who were there were then in the house with her, consoling her. When they saw Miriam, she got up quickly and went out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb so that she could weep there. Then as Miriam came to Jesus, where Jesus was, when she saw him, she fell forward and at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Then as Yeshua saw her weeping and those Jewish people who accompanied her weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and it troubled him. And he said, where have you put him? And they said to him, Lord, you must come and see. And this is the shortest verse in the Bible. It says, Jesus wept. So if you can't, if people, you know, tell you they can't memorize scripture, you can memorize this one. Now, John 11:35. Then the Jewish people were saying, see how he loved him? Some of them said, was not this the one who opened the eyes of the blind, also able to do something so that he would not have died? Yeshua, then again, being deeply moved within himself, came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone was lying upon it. And he said, you must remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the one who had died, said to him, Lord, already he has an odor, for it has been 4 days. They didn't embalm people back then. But one of the interesting things about Jewish belief was that they believed that the spirit remained with the body for 3 days. And so that's why they bury in the buried dead people in the Middle East within 3 days. So what Jesus wanted to be sure was, as far as the Jewish tradition was concerned, that he was dead and his spirit was gone. So that's why he waited 4 days. He had a purpose in everything he did. Jesus said to her, did I not say that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they removed the stone, and Yeshua looked up and said, Father, I give you thanks because you heard me, and I have known that you always hear me. There's a little bit of faith right there. He says, and I have known that you always hear me. I was reading something about by Kenneth Copeland this week, and some people like him, some people don't, but I'm a fan. But anyway, he was talking about when he first felt the call to go into ministry. He went to Oral Roberts University, and he said that, and he had a discussion or something and with Oral Roberts one day, and Oral Roberts told him, he said, if you really want to get into this, he said, you're going to have to get into what the Word of God said. To where you know, where it's become so much of you that you don't even give any thought to anything else. And so he said he went into the garage in his house, and he said for a week he sat there and he read and he took notes and he poured over stuff, and he said he told his wife, he said, if you call me for dinner and I don't come, I think he said within 30 minutes, he said, go on without me. But he said, I spent that week there, and he said, I had a new found commitment to what faith really was. And he said, I have known that you always hear me, as he's saying to God, but I spoke because of the crowd that was standing around so that they would believe that you sent me. And after he said these things, he cried out in a loud voice. He just didn't say, God, he raised Lazarus. But it came out boldly because it said, he said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come outside. The one who died came out, although his feet and hands had been bound with strips of cloth and his face was bound with cloth, with a face cloth. And Yeshua said to them, you must loose him at once, and you must allow him to go. So what's so interesting there as you look at that is there was no way he was going to walk far with all that stuff around him. But there was also, when you stop and think, how did he walk out of there the same way? It had to be the power of Jesus that brought him out. So when we take a look at a few things, and we wonder, you know, how we could have reacted to the same way, same thing that Mary and Martha did. If we look in those verses of, 17 through 37, and they're saying, well, if you'd have just been here, and I can imagine them walking around, pacing, walking back and forth, walking down the road and wondering where Jesus is, wondering when he was coming. Wonder how many times that they asked that same question over that four-day period. Because they didn't know when he was coming. They sent for him and said Lazarus was sick. But that's really all they did. It was never anything that was said about how or what was wrong with Lazarus, whether he had some type of virus or something wrong with him. Nothing is ever said, in the Bible about what had happened. But we do know that it didn't really make any difference what had happened when Jesus found him and what Jesus did. And so they hadn't come to Jesus to tell him that he was dead, but they had sent word that he was deathly ill. And when you go back and look at that, the word there that John uses is he's sick. Didn't say anything other than that. And so anyway, we know Jesus knew what was going on all the time. But the question comes to mind, if Jesus would have been the friend that we would have thought he was, wouldn't he have come immediately? Would there have been any reason for him to delay if this friend of his was his good friend? Someone that he loved like a brother? I'm sorry? Yeah. He just didn't seem to be in any big hurry. There was no sense of urgency. And for a Christian, and for someone that deep in faith, there really is no sense of urgency. I've got a book by a guy named Smith Wigglesworth. Interesting to read the book because he talks about raising people from the dead. And it's not necessarily a five-minute prayer. One of the stories I read, he was there all night, not giving up. And we might sit there and say, well, that didn't happen. But I believe it did. So we know that while, they're sent, for Jesus and told him he was sick, and by the time he got back, Jesus got there, he had died, and they waited and waited and finally buried him after the third day because they weren't going to wait till the fourth day, so we know that he was dead, and as far as the Jewish custom or tradition was concerned, that the spirit had left the body, so as far as the Jewish world was concerned, there was absolutely no life left in the body. Jesus healed paralytic people. People he didn't even know. People he passed walking down the road. People he walked up to at the pool. Had no idea who these people were. And yet his friend had to die. And I think it's kind of interesting because I think it's a lesson for... and I read this more of a lesson for Martha and Miriam than anyone else because they have to learn, number one, to trust. But you have to also learn some patience because as they're pacing and wondering where Jesus is, I'm sure they were tormented about what is going on. I'm sure they were criticizing Jesus because he had misjudged the situation. Even though they told him he was sick. And so, not only was there a murmur through their minds and as they talked, but there was a murmur through the crowd questioning who this is. Is this the person that healed the blind? Is this the person that, that healed the crippled? And I'm probably look back and think that Martha and Miriam both were probably disappointed and felt betrayed that Jesus wasn't there. And probably in some way was disappointed, even though they really didn't express a whole lot, it other than say, if you would have been there. But Max, I guess, saw this, Max Lucado says, the grave unearths our view of God. And he's really right. Because he goes on to say, if God existed, such and such would not have happened. And I got a text earlier in the week from someone that had told me that Ryan Jones was in hospice. It was late last week. And I got a text today that said he had passed away. And apparently they are used to tend here, or, you know, I'm not familiar with them. But anyway, I'm sure that, you know, I mean, we prayed for him. That, you know, that that he would be healed. And it's that age-old question, is why does God not heal everyone? And why does he take young people? Why do some carnally minded and carnally spirited people live to be 100 years old? I have no idea. Because there is no answer. We don't have an answer. So Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who is a Russian novelist, and he wrote a lot of short stories. He was a historian, and he was a very outspoken critic of the Soviet Union and how they abused people. And he wrote one time, he said, if it were all so simple, if only there were evil people somewhere insidiously committing evil deeds, and it was necessary only to separate them from the rest of us and destroy them. That'd be pretty easy. But the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being. And who is willing to destroy a piece of his own heart? So we all have those questions. We all have those things that go through through our mind. And go through, you know, through our lives as we live and think about things that occur in our lives every day. Jesus gives life. He gave life to Lazarus. He gives life, you know, to us, even though, you know, we're buried in sin and muck and everything else that, you know, that occurs in our lives. We're part of what Martha and Miriam were. We're part of, you know, unfortunately, we're part of doubt. We're part of questioning things. It's just the way we are, that, you know, that we often wonder. And so Sunday, we're going to talk about, as Greg said, the message is on sowing seed. And it is. It's about sowing seed of faith. And looking, you know, and the message of the title is, you know, sow the seed and it'll grow. And we're going to take a look at that and see what where it takes us. Any questions? Any thoughts? Friend. Just a friend. He was the sister of Mary and Martha, and Martha's the one that anointed Jesus' feet with this expensive perfume and wiped it off, but it was just a friend. And you wonder how Jesus had such, you know, say few close friends. Because you don't hear a lot about him. You know, he spent a lot of time, with his disciples. But it was interesting that when he was betrayed, The Bible says they followed him far off. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a friend. He was a problem. Maybe one of his closest friends outside of his disciples. Oh, really? We'll take a look at some things Sunday that I think if we could ever really get that down inside, in our spirit, beyond our mind, and quit trying to make this say what our mind wants it to say, but take it for what it really said. Then it would be amazing what we would see happen in our individual life. We would be amazed at how we would see things like health, prosperity, peace, joy. We would feel love toward people that we just really can't stand. Huh? Oh. Because there are people there that we really have a hard time dealing with. But that's what he said. That those things wouldn't be a big deal, because what we would understand is that that it's a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing. It's not a mind thing. You know, it's body, soul, and spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. And our soul really is our mind that guides us. And, you know, and that's where that still small voice, that's where our conscience is. It tells us what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing. Kind of leads us into being obedient. In many cases, being disobedient. And so that's really where we, you know, where we get that. So if we ever get beyond the idea of what in my mind, and we make our mind subjective to our spirit, and we realize that, you know, we are a spirit living in a physical body, with a mind or a soul that allows us to think and make decisions, but those decisions are guided by the Spirit, it would totally revolutionize how we live. It would totally change it. To where anything that we were hit with wouldn't bother us, no matter what it is. And there are some people that are there. There are some more of us that need to get there. But it would totally and radically make an impact in our lives. I mentioned Ryan Jones, and we definitely want to remember that family. Lost three sons, hadn't she? Is that the one? Someone had lost three sons, they told me. Okay. Oh. Other prayer needs, requests? There's a destiny there for certain. I sent a note to Jim Reckel, and I don't know if you know, but Leanne, her and her dog got attacked by a couple dogs, and the term was chewed Leanne's hand, I don't know, you know, and so anyway, and I asked him about his brother and his dad, and he said that Leanne was getting along okay. That's where Sally was last weekend, and down in Tennessee, said his brother, they did surgery, and he ended up with MRSA. But they thought they caught it early enough that, you know, he was going to be fine. Yeah, but his dad's doing really well. He said Don's doing really well. So, but his last line was pray for Mom. So. All right. Is this for charity or? Okay. Oh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we just lift you up as we bow before you. And Lord, we come to you tonight with thankful hearts, thankful for the things that you do in our lives, thankful for your leadership and your guidance, thankful most of all for your presence in our life, because your presence in our life means that we are forgiven and we are a child of yours. And there's nothing greater that you could do for us than to provide us freedom from sin and an eternal home with you. And so we thank you for that. And we thank you, Father, for the opportunity to just talk to you and talk with you and to listen. And so as we pray, we ask these things through Jesus, your Son, but also the one who died for us, gave his life for us, that we might have all of the promises that you have promised us, not only when we get to heaven, but all the things that you promised us here on earth. So we thank you for that. And Lord, we have these requests laid before us. We also have the joys laid before us. And Father, we give you thanks for those joys and those praises that are expressed because you protected people from accidents. You watch over us and you keep us. We're thankful, Father, for the blessing in Linda's life, Lord, and that opportunity that she is going to experience with this artwork being auctioned off. Thank you, Father, that you do those things for us and you watch over us and you keep us. And you bless us beyond anything that we could ever imagine. So, Father, for the needs that are represented here, we bring them before you, and we bring them before you, and we ask you to touch them in a unique and particular way that will meet the needs of those individuals that are involved. And we pray, Father, that it's in Jesus' name, Lord, that we can come because we are his believers and we are his followers and we have been forgiven by him. So he says that whatever we ask, whatever we want, bring it to you in his name. So Father, we're asking for healing and wholeness in these needs that are represented here today. Lord, we just pray that you will bless each and every person. Touch our lives, Lord. We pray, Father, for the Sunday service. We ask again that your presence in your Holy Spirit comes to us in a new and a fresh way, that we will celebrate you and celebrate what you have done as we talk about sowing seeds of faith. So, Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, for this night. We ask that you bless it in Jesus' name.
Okay, now this is going to be your special. See, this is the cool thing about coming here, Roger. On Thursdays, you get to hear this, you get to hear all the music you're going to hear. So if you like something now, you can get excited for it, or you can choose not to show up.
There's options.
Red tractor sitting in shade.
Twist going, huh? Isn't that fun? I've been many tears and sorrows. Questions for tomorrow. Somebody help me out here. There's been times I don't know right from wrong, but in every situation God gave blessed consolation, that my trials come to only make me strong. This is your closing hymn, so I need to see you singing, Roger. There have been times I felt so all alone, but in my lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was His own. Through it all, through it all, and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He brought me through. But if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that He could solve them. I never know what faith in God could do. This is technically what we normally play at post-service, but it's just a fun song, and we should just do it, shouldn't we?
When peace like a river attendeth my way, the cloud we roll back as a scroll. It is well.